Tonight, I want us to look at a topic of real Christianity. Real Christianity. We need to understand that as Christians, then we follow God's direction as being a real Christian. It's not as a Christian that we don't make a mistake, that we don't sin, or that we have the human battle just like anyone else. But real Christianity is an individual who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. And that real person who has accepted Jesus, they're doing real living as they go forth. Many will say, well, you know, if all I could do, you know, I wish the Lord when he touches me that all he'll let me do is just stay in one spot and study and, you know, do, that's it. Well, all the studying that any of us will do, all of the praying that we can do, folks, we as human beings must live life. How are you going to help folk in a real world, in reality living, if we ourselves don't live it? So God gives us this ability that as we walk through life, we will see him, his steps, his leadership, every step of the way. Now, what happens? We get sidetracked. We get out into making a living. We get out into living, period. And so often, it's sort of like, oh, that's right, I should have been doing this, because life throws an awful lot at us, right? We get right, okay, today I'm up. Don't get too cocky with it, because either the next moment or tomorrow you'll be down. So that's real living. And the Lord says, I want you to go out here and live a real life, but I want you to be a real Christian as you're living this life. And real Christianity focuses on God giving us the direction through his Son Jesus, Holy Spirit power indwelling us, and we take that message to a lost and dying world. Well, one of the greatest sermons ever one of us will preach will be in our actions. It'll be in what we do as we do all that we can to lead children in the right direction. We should do all that we can to lead one another, to help one another. First of all, number one on real Christianity, we need to understand that real Christianity has supernatural power. When I'm representing Jesus Christ, and let me warn you of something. I've seen it too often over the past 40 years, but when you make a statement, I believe God is leading me in this direction or that direction, you make sure that you do not do something and just by making a statement, well, I believe this is God telling me what to do. How will you know? If what you're getting ready to do is not biblical, it's not God. I mean, if what you're getting ready to do goes against what the Bible says, God's word, then it's not God doing the leading. Many times we hear too many voices. You know, we can, maybe we should ask the question, is that you, Lord? But we find that, have you ever just put your mind to thinking and wanting something to happen so much that you tell yourself it is happening, meaning that you overdo the thinking process to the point, oh, I heard that, Lord. You're right. I need to lock that man in the cage for a little while and teach him a lesson. Knock him in the head first, Lord. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, Lord. And see, we will make ourselves believe that it is the voice of God telling. And the only hope that we have, again, in how do I know that it's the Lord, read his book. And if in his book you will find your direction, it's of God. Pray. There's, when you read the Bible without prayer, you've read a great novel. It is great. It's great reading. But without prayer, there's no power to it. Each word that God has had recorded for us in his book, the Bible, each word is so important that God wants us to read, to meditate. Oh, gosh, I remember one of my professors, he would get so carried away in his sincerity. He says, you've got to think upon it. You've got to let it, the savor of it in your, you know, on your tongue as you're listening to it. I loved him to death. But the problem was when he would do that, I'd get hungry. You know, I think it's the lunch break time. But he had such a heart for the Lord. Dr. Carroll Hubbard was his name, a homiletic professor. But he had such a love. You could see it in his face, and you would smile because you knew that this man knows the word and that it is such a part of who he is. So he then would impart to us that savory taste of the word of God, and you would listen. He didn't have to get too excited. You listened because of how God had given him such a gift to reach out. Well, that's supernatural power. The power of God will come in and indwell us, and real Christianity holds on to that promise. Now listen to Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. This is in the New Century version. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a noise like a strong blowing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw something like flames of fire, that were separated and stood over each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak different languages by the power the Holy Spirit was giving them. So you, as they're looking, all of those who were present, they could not explain to the depth of what they were looking at. See, that's power from above. So when God truly acts within your life, then how he is acting within our life or through our life is so awesome that we don't have the words to explain what's going on. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Well, tell me about your experience. I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. Well, is that it? No, but that's the best that I can explain it to you. I know that it is a personal relationship. Well, as God is introducing now us, meaning the church body, this is at Pentecost. This is when the Jesus' church is being established through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as each one are looking at one another, it was so awesome. They said, well, it was like fire. It was like tongues coming out, speaking as fire will laugh out towards you. And they knew that there was power within there. Now, as they began to preach and teach, again, the power of God's word was so great that they were witnessing thousands of people getting saved at the same time. Now, remember, when you see the counting in Scripture, when you're paying attention to where they say, let's say there was 100 men. Well, what is left out a lot of time is the women and the family unit, the kids. See, everybody thinks, oh, those men were all there. No, it was family. Christianity is a family focus. Well, the all that God did, even at Pentecost, it was a family gathering. But it just so happened that during these periods that they counted him by the male who was the head of the household in the quarter, and therefore, meaning everybody knows this, they would think. Yeah, all the men were there, but they were there with their family. So you've got all of these family members together, and they are witnessing real Christianity as a supernatural power. Now, God then is speaking. As God was speaking, they began to speak what God was saying to them. Acts 2:43, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Okay, you've got all of them here. Not all of them were believers, folks. That when you say all came to Christ, that was salvation. They were being saved. So you have individuals that don't know Christ, and they're witnessing this miraculous power. And in that, they find that it is that Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit touching them. Now, they're getting excited. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is a relationship that you get excited over, and when you're excited over it, then those around you are going to get excited. Are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. It's really been really great. Well, now, folks, people are not going to get excited when you say it that way. And at Pentecost, I mean, they were excited. It was a joyful experience. God Almighty had poured out His Spirit. Now, think of this. This had been taught by what we call the Old Testament prophets. And they had heard of, you know, the prophets' readings and all. But now they're experiencing what the prophets said was going to come when Jesus Christ or the Messiah came. So they're right there experiencing it. Now, would they have thought that here we are and we're the beginning of the church age? No. It was an outpouring of God's Spirit. And you and I cannot grasp the totality of God's purpose in our life in this human body. We think we can sometime, but what we can do is know this. When God calls us to do something, know the voice. And when you know the voice, what you're saying is, I also know my voice. And it's not me trying to talk myself into doing something. Be sincere with that. As the each one being filled with excitement. Let me tell you, there's some shouting that day, folks. There was some excitement. Because remember this, as they were listening to the word, they believed that Jesus was going to be crucified, but they believed that he had been crucified, but they also thought that he was coming back while they're still alive. So they were anxious to see him come back and, of course, lead the Jewish nation. That was not the intent. It was to lead the world. Sometimes we, as Christians, we think too small. Sometimes as Christians, we don't focus on the greatness of what we really have as a child of God. The second thing of real Christianity is it uses everybody's language. Now, here they are speaking in different languages. It was not something that nobody understood. It was understandable by those who were present. As a matter of fact, that's what got them awestruck. Acts 2, the second part of verse 4, they all began to speak different languages as the Spirit gave each of them the power to express themselves. Now, again, you got to remember, these were unlearned apostles. How are they speaking a different language? They're from Galilee. I mean, they don't know much of anything, and here they are. Now, Acts 2, 5 through 8, there were religious Jews staying in Jerusalem. Now, remember this. Pay attention to how God expresses to us religion and relationships. Religion, okay, I'm a Christian, and for the secular world's sake, I am what's your religion? I'm a Christian. For our sake as Christians, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ like you do. Always bring that up. Always separate religion with your relationship with Christ. Religion is a way for the secular world to speak of the different named religions. There were religious Jews staying in Jerusalem who had come from every country in the world. Had a lot of different people there, wasn't there? When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because all of them heard the believers talking in their own languages. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this," there it is, "are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native language?" See, it's Holy Spirit power. And the Lord will use the least and lift the least up to the greatest to confound those who think they are great. Greatness is only in Christ. And when an individual sees themselves as being great, or a group seeing themselves as greater than others, then how will they get Christ's word across? When he came as a suffering servant. He came to give his all. And as he came with a message that it's not just for believers, for the lost also. Jesus' intent was always, "I would that none would be lost, but that all would be saved." So our ministry as the body of believers, the church, our ministry is to reach out for those who do not believe. Well, if you don't welcome in non-believers, how are they going to hear the word? And you remember the first statement that you'll hear from them is, "Oh, now, Larry Pete, if I go there, and you know, the church could cave in." Everybody says that jokingly. Well, if the church was going to cave in, it would have caved in due to the Christians sitting in the pews to begin with, not them that are coming in. Now, in real Christianity, every language, now listen to this again. That way, no one would have excuse that they had not been told. Well, Jesus had another surprise for the Christian, because this began the Christian movement, the church, the body of Christ. Therefore, that meant that now Christ's Holy Spirit was in each believer, and each believer was issuing an invitation on behalf of God the Father, God the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit that it was in them and is in us. So here was our task. Here is our mission. take my message to the world. Some people expand too much on it. They say, okay, I'm going on a foreign mission trip. Fine. You make sure that God's told you to do that. But to expand my world also means to go to the neighbor. Reach your hand out to the ones that you already know. Was it not begin here in Jerusalem and after that, then you go to the uttermost parts of the world? Number three, real Christianity uses everyone's gift. Everybody's language is used. Everyone's gift is used. Acts 2, 14 through 18 and verse 21. Then Peter stood up and said, the argument was going on, you know, as the Holy Spirit was giving them power. And the mumbling across the crowds was, they're drunk. They're drunk. Listen to them. They're talking crazy. Every one of them are drunk. But I love it the way Dr. Luke here, Luke, you see in the Gospel of Luke, is the penman in the book of Acts. As Luke is trying to explain it to him, as a doctor would, then Peter stood up and said, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, you're going to have to wait a little later. They'll be drunk, but not now. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. So as that explanation is coming on, God says, I will pour out my spirit. Now listen to this one too. My spirit on everyone. Everyone. Got it? Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. I can't do that in the Baptist church. What are you talking about? Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. When did this begin? It began at the beginning. The Lord said, once my spirit is poured out, there is no difference. Now, let me keep reading for us. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. What days? The days of the institution of the body of Christ with us, the church. This is the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on the church. And he says, all will proclaim. How can all proclaim if we are insistent that only a certain group can proclaim? What do we watch today that goes on within our nation as we watch the crumbling? Let me tell you something, folks, and you've heard me say this many times before. If it were not for the women in the churches today, a lot more of them would have already shut down. But you got to remember, you deal with the culture at a time. And that culture was, I was looking 3 score and 10 years because I became 3 score tenor yesterday. And I was looking that up. Then I was looking up the scores, the different 3 score and 10 and 4 score, and I was looking through that. And Gideon was so many score plus so many years, and he had, I can't remember, 75 children. Yeah, somewhere around there. And then it gives an explanation, because Gideon had many wives. So look at the culture in which you're studying. Pay attention. And I can guarantee you that the number one wife was tickled to death. She didn't have all 75, right? But again, study the culture of the time. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will all proclaim my message. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's the institution, yes, it is the institution of the power of the Holy Spirit, salvation. It is when Christ comes, all the prophets said, when the ultimate sacrifice gets here, everyone will know because God will reveal himself to them. So what do? We say, okay, you can teach, but you can't teach. But we're all Christians. Well, now you keep the children silent. Really? Jesus didn't say that. He said, you all leave him, let the kids come to me. And he wasn't very nice with the apostles when he told them that either. He said, this is what heaven's made up of. These little children, because they trust me. You have faith. They know what faith is. And adults, God bless us, folks, we forget from the tree from which we were hewn. Too often kids just don't know anything. Well, who raised them? Be careful of what you're saying. Number four, real Christianity offers life-changing truth. Now, here's one thing that God has always done. Throughout Scripture, you will find that God offers. God doesn't make anyone do anything. Well, Flip Wilson, the devil made him do everything, remember? The devil made me do it. Well, the devil can't make me do anything. In some cases, you will find the Scripture says the devil can kill you. Yes, he can, but only after getting permission from God to do it. That means it couldn't happen unless that death is going to glorify God. You and I don't die, folks. That's what is hard for us to understand, I know. It is, we're not dying. And we're all going to be together with the Lord. We will all, according to Scripture, know each other. And I love this one. One of my professors again said it. And heaven's a place where you're going to know people that you didn't know on earth. I had a horrible time putting my mind around that one. You know, because today we meet strangers. No such thing in heaven, in the family of God. Yet it'll be a family reunion without the griping. No fussing, no fighting, and no, did you see what she looked like when she came? Oh, I can't believe that hussy. You know, you listen, and it's just amazing as to what you will hear. Okay, I'll go on. Acts 2:14-16. Peter addressed the crowd. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. You see, everybody went back to trying to explain to the folks that this is what you said you knew, you religious leaders. This is what was explained by the prophet Joel. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, we sure do see that one a lot, don't we? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. No ifs, ands, or buts. Well, now you change the way you talk. You know, vocabularies that we have and our kids pick up, they will pick up from home. Attitudes, where'd they get that attitude? Must got it from your side of the family. You know, attitudes, they will pick up at home. Whether or not, if you're going to invite a preacher to lunch or have a preacher for lunch, it happens at home. He was throwing that at me. I know he knew. Well, did you talk to him about it? No. Well, then how would he have known? Well, he just knew it. He just knew it and threw it straight in my face. Acts 2:40-41. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 would have been close to, according to how many family members and all, because that's what you're dealing with here. Remember, on the numbering, it's unless they say it differently, the numbering deals with the males, the men. Okay, it was a cultural thing. Acts 2:42, first part of verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay, if you devote yourself to the teaching, that means then that you're going to listen as the word comes from God. They were devoted to the teachings of the apostles. The apostles were no closer to God than anyone else that got saved that day, folks. You got to remember something. When you're talking about the apostles here, and they're now preaching, and they're excited. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has been poured out within them. Folks, they were running away and denying Jesus, but now they're teaching his word. What happened? They received the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, remember, as you go through life in the Old Testament, God would give you the power. Gideon, I'm going to be with you. Moses, I will be with you, meaning I will give you that power, and then the Holy Spirit would withdraw until it was time again. But this is the age, the church age is the time period when my Holy Spirit, the Lord says, will dwell in you. Or for Old English, will take up the abode with you. That means that we have a personal relationship. You know, when the Lord lives in you, that's personal, right? Acts 2:40-41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000. Acts 2:42a, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Going to number five. We ready? Real Christianity provides loving support. Acts, second part of verse 42 in Acts 2, they took part in the fellowship and sharing in fellowship meals and in praying together. Okay, again, a lot of times we will relate fellowship only to the eating part. But the fellowship deals with, again, the power of fellowship is, Gene, when you're hurting, I need to be hurting. When you're laughing, any of us, when we have that feeling of the hurt, that's what fellowship is. You're taking on the hurt of your fellow Christians. Fellowshipping, dealing with their pain becomes my pain. And we cry and we laugh when they're laughing. Acts 2:44. Verse 44, all the believers continued together in close fellowship. What happened? Well, if you want to know, the first split in the church was in the first century churches. You know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, everybody's excited, and you don't go many days after this when you will see Apollos baptized me. And not Paul. Well, Paul baptized me, so therefore we need to get over here who were baptized by Paul. And then Apollos. And then you hear the names. And Paul said, I'm glad that I didn't baptize the majority of you. You know, he names a couple that he's done. And what were they doing? They were once again pulling the human element in to a spiritual event. The only human elements that should be brought in is us as a human being accepting the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But why is it that people want to be boss? I have never witnessed a church I was sharing with you all and hurting over. Bad, bad scene today. Bad, bad deal with all of it. And, you know, when I know the people that get in and sow that discord, and gosh, you know what I do? I pray for them. because it just destroys the heartfelt Christian walk that so many have, and it's all over power. Ah, well, let me tell you something. The only power I ever want in my life is Holy Spirit power. And the power that the Holy Spirit gives each one of us must be the power to love and to get the foolishness of all this other stuff, colors and how you do this, how you do that, and you cut that tree down. And I mean, it's just like killing my great-great-granddaddy. You know, and you get into all of that foolishness. And that's what causes the problems. Well, I want to be the one that tells everybody what to do. One of the best feelings I ever had was when our Lord's Supper, as we do that now, everyone comes down and takes. Folks, you have no idea what the pastor would hear. I cannot believe you was having them pass out the Lord's Supper. Here they are standing there, and it's hitting on me last night. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, Lord, what do you do? So, come get you on. You see what I mean? You know, and then people would say, no, this gives me power. It's about Jesus, not about anything but who he is. Real Christianity, not phony, fake, pseudo-Christianity, enjoys joyful worship. See, Randy Kidder makes me laugh every Sunday morning. And I have no idea what's going to come out of his mouth, and you all don't either. And when you see me crawling underneath the pew, that means I've been embarrassed. Acts 2:46-47. They continued to worship together in the temple courts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Meaning everybody was united in Christ. You know, that don't happen that often, folks, and when it does, get excited. You know, everybody's saying positive things about someone else. Acts 2:28. This focuses on Christianity enjoys joyful worship. You've shown me the paths, plural, that lead to life. And your presence fills me with joy. Now, when you see paths, plural, does that mean there's different? And the people will pick up on this. So that means there's another way other than Jesus. Had nothing to do with that. You've shown me the paths, plural, that lead to life. And you hear me preach it all the time. A to Z, folks, God says you're saved. Now, this is what I've called you to do. And you go down every avenue that I provided, A to Z, and it's only one Christ. And I am going to bless that when you do what? When you put me first. When I'm the reason you're doing it, you will see the true joyful worship. You know, not everybody comes to church to worship. You have segments that come to church to cause trouble within the church. I've seen in our own Hardin County, I've seen one church group go to another church and take over the church. Many of them. And actually took over that church and then fired the preacher and put theirs in. Now, something tells me that's not biblical. Acts 2:26, because of this, my heart will be glad, my words will be joyful, and I will live in hope. That's who Jesus is. Okay, number 7. Real Christianity makes generous sacrifices. Now, before you get to thinking about the money part or any of this, the greatest sacrifice you can give is your time. Because your time is important to you. As we get older, I mean, it really gets more important. Well, we better finish this sermon pretty soon, preacher. I'll be dead time you get to the end of it. So, real Christianity makes generous sacrifices. Acts 2:41-45, all the believers shared everything with each other. They would sell their land and the things they owned and then give the money to anyone who needed it. Now, let me tell you what was going on there again. Remember that they thought Jesus was coming back. See, they thought that when, you know, they got so excited with the outpouring, they thought Jesus was coming back and they was getting rid of everything so people would have pleasure and hope themselves in the life they had been blessed with. Well, what happens today, same thing had happened a lot in the first century church. Many then of the people who had the good heart of giving were ripped off by those who were not true believers. But it was the heart in which they began, the heart that they have. So what mattered? Nothing they owned mattered. They gave in the right heart. People took with the wrong heart. Where was the split? It came in the churches. And you would have now, I don't know how many Baptists were involved, but you would have a church everywhere. But they had started their names and all of this. Okay. Acts 2:46. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. It's a big deal then, folks. It's a big deal for the food part. They shared their meals. You know, that does happen during our fellowships. We eat and eat and eat.
Enjoy each other,
yes. Number 8, the final one, real Christianity creates exponential growth. You can't count them. Boy, when the Holy Spirit turns loose and we start acting like Christians, then salvations began. Acts 2:47, people liked what they saw. So every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. They liked what they saw, okay? Think of it this way, reverse that. Why do people say they walked out on God or walked out on the church? They didn't like what they saw. Now, truthfully and frankly, many, as I said, will cause that trouble themselves when they come in to do that, to disrupt. What's the best way of starting to disrupt? Refuse to allow prayer in public. I had to shake my head one time when I was listening to that, and I thought, I did keep my mouth shut, but I thought, well, I don't know how many people would pray in public anyway. You all been paying attention to the coach that went to 50-yard line and prayed, and then how awesome, because he knew that they were watching him and said he did not have a right to do that. And as he went when he went out and knelt by himself, he did not take the team with him or anything. He went out and he knelt to pray to thank God. And he said he realized people were coming. The opposing team came out, all their coaches. His own team came out. And you see the picture of all of them kneeling right there in prayer. And they, you know, trying to nail him because, you know, he had no right to do that. So every one of them went out there. Isn't that a blessing?